scripture. First from Psalm 100. Shout triumphantly to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with celebration. Come before him with shouts of joy. Know that the Lord is God. God has made us, and we belong to him. We are his people, the sheep of his own pasture. And so enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courtyards with praise. Thank him. Bless his name. Because the Lord is good, his loyal love lasts forever. His faithfulness lasts from generation to generation. And from Luke 17, the story of the Samaritan leper. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus travels along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men with skin diseases approached him. Keeping their distance from him, they raised their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, show mercy on us." When Jesus saw them, he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." As they left, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he had been healed, returned and praised God with a loud voice. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus replied, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? No one returned to praise God except this foreigner." And then Jesus said, "Get up and go. Your faith has healed you." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
And so it might seem a little confusing this morning, particularly a passage like that is not part of our traditional Advent texts. We might think, didn't we cover this back a few weeks ago at Thanksgiving? We're in the wrong season. And here we are 8 days before Christmas talking about Thanksgiving and gratitude. Today is supposed to be about joy. And I think that's all the more reason why it's appropriate to talk about this simple gift of gratitude. We've been talking about these simple gifts of the season, the gift of slowing down, the gift of simplicity, the gift of gratitude, and next week the gift of mystery. But gratitude ties very closely to joy. Brené Brown studied for 12 years, over 11,000 interviews, and she said, "I did not interview a single person that described their life as joyful who did not also actively practice gratitude." That was the connection. For all the people that said they had joy in their lives, the common denominator for over 11,000 people, she said, was that they were intentional about practicing gratitude and thanksgiving in their daily lives. David Rast writes that it is not joy that makes us grateful, it is gratitude that makes us joyful. And that's why it is so important to receive and to consider this gift of the season of gratitude. Because as Angela mentioned a few minutes ago to children, joy is not something that just comes naturally as a feeling. Happiness comes and goes, but joy is a gift from God. But the question is, how do we receive this gift? And I think gratitude is the gift which allows us, which opens our hearts to fully receive the joy of the Lord in our lives. Joy is not a result of circumstances, but it comes from a deep heart of gratitude, a constant choice to be thankful. Paul writes to the Thessalonians, "Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." You ever hear somebody wonder, what in the world is God's will for my life? How am I going to figure this out? Well, pretty simple. This is God's will for you. Paul says it flat out. Be joyful, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. God's will right there in one verse. Philippians 4, he writes similarly, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." We heard this last week. "Let your gentleness be known to everybody, for the Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, and with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds." We saw something similar in Psalm 100 when we read about the faithful love of the Lord, and to come in the call to rejoice and to come into his gates with thanksgiving and with praise. throughout the scriptures, we see that joy and thanksgiving and gratitude are never separated. They always come as a package. And that's, I think, what we see in this passage in Luke today. We have 10 lepers, 10 people with skin disease who are cast out from society. They didn't have the kind of medical treatment that we have today, and so these are people who had to stay on the margins as far away from others as possible because their disease was highly contagious. They had to shout out to others that they were unclean so that nobody would come near them. Imagine the public shame. Everywhere you go, to constantly be declaring yourself unclean so that no one would come near you. No human touch, no close contact, even with family and friends. Some may have experienced a little taste of that during the pandemic when people were cut off from loved ones. I know my grandmother experienced that in the nursing home where she was, where one day she had family coming every day and all of a sudden for months didn't see anyone, and then her phone stopped working and she lost contact with the entire world for several months before she died, right around New Year's of that year. Being cut off from human connection is indeed debilitating. It is terminal in many ways. We can't survive without love and affection and care and contact with other people. And yet, these lepers went their entire lives not being able to have that connection. They cried out to Jesus. They heard about his healing ministry. They knew he had the ability, and so they cried out for mercy. And Jesus, being who he is, filled with mercy and love and kindness and compassion on their situation, reached out and said to them to go and cleanse themselves before the priest, and they would be healed. Now, this indeed did take an act of faith on their part, because they have to go to the priest. That's the standard way. If you are healed of a disease, of being unclean, you have to go and be declared clean by the priest so that you can re-enter society. It's almost like a bill of good health from the hospital to say you are okay now to go back into society. So they did exactly what they were supposed to, but this took an act of faith because it doesn't tell us that they were healed before they went to the priest. We don't know if they were healed at some point along the way. We don't know if they were healed at the moment they got to the priest. We don't know how all that panned out, but we do know that they willingly took that step of faith to say, okay, if this is what Jesus says, we'll go to the priest. Knowing there's a possibility when we get there, we may still be unclean and we may have to back away. Imagine the disappointment they might face. But they were willing to take that risk and go to the priest, and all were declared clean, fully healed by God's mercy. And there's nothing wrong with what any of these lepers did. They did exactly what was customary in their culture, to go and receive that blessing. But one, and one only, received a second blessing. He was the Samaritan. He wasn't simply healed on the outside, but he was made whole on the inside. And he was filled with a joyful spirit. He was an outsider among outsiders. You see, they lived along the border between Samaria and Jerusalem, and leprosy didn't really know national boundaries. And so both Samaritans and Jews would face this disease. And when they come together in a leper colony, they find themselves friends. They're united by their common disease. But all of a sudden, when the 10 are healed, they go back to being Jews and Samaritans, sworn enemies. And so we have this one foreigner, this one outcast who once had friends in and among the outcasts, the other lepers that were with him. They suffered together. They grieved together. They bore each other's pain, and now all of a sudden the other 9 are gone. He's a Samaritan. Where does he go? He doesn't go to the priest like a Jew would. It's not part of his culture or his faith. And so he returns to Jesus, filled with a joyful spirit, overwhelmed with gratitude. I wonder if maybe he felt less deserving than the others because he wasn't a Jew, and yet this Jewish rabbi had mercy on him as well. See, sometimes the reason we struggle with gratitude and with joy is because we take life for granted. We just go about our normal routine. We do what we're supposed to do, but we don't realize or notice the beautiful little pieces, the moments that could bring us joy. And that's why all of these simple gifts that we've been talking about this season come together as one. See, it's because the gift of slowing down that we talked about back at the beginning of the month, slowing down makes room for all of these gifts of hope and peace and joy. Simplicity, simplifying our lives, getting rid of the clutter, both inside and out, gives us peace, fills us with calmness and comfort. And then this gift of gratitude, as we slow down, as we simplify our lives, we begin to notice more the things that we value the most. We begin to have a deeper appreciation for those gifts that God has placed in our lives. And we begin to recognize what those things are that we are truly grateful for. Advent is a season of slowing down, of waiting, not of hurry, as the world tells us. It's not a countdown to Christmas. It's an opportunity to pause, to freeze in time, and to really notice those gifts of the incarnation, those gifts of God with us, blooming everywhere in our midst. Just like if you look closely at the tree, you see those little terminal buds that are already present, promising us new life in the spring. In this season of winter, in this season of darkness, we look for those little terminal buds, those little pieces, those little glimpses of beauty and joy and new life that are sprouting forth, that are preparing to bloom, even as we wait in darkness. We wait for Christ's return. We wait for the restoration of all of creation. But sometimes in our hurry and our rush to get to Christmas, or our hurry to get to spring or the next season, we miss all of these small signs of restoration along the way. I don't know if this is normal for all kids or not, but one thing I noticed that Ariana has done consistently is whatever holiday we're on, she'll always say, "I'm so excited about whatever the next one down the road is." I think her latest one was that she can't wait for Easter. A couple weeks ago, she was talking about 4th of July. When we were at her birthday in April, she was couldn't wait for Halloween. It's always the next thing that we're looking forward to. And we miss sometimes the ones along the way. I started telling her, I said, "Okay, we can go to Easter, but then we've got to skip your birthday. We've got to skip Christmas. We've got to skip New Year's and all that." No, we don't want to skip. But we naturally think ahead so much to whatever the next big thing is in our life. It's very hard for us to be present in the moment. Maybe we feel that way now. Maybe you're thinking of your Christmas plans, whether you're traveling out of town with family, or maybe you've got people coming in, or maybe you've got some more shopping to do, or maybe you're just looking forward to a day off from work to rest. Whatever it is, maybe you're already focused on all of that, to the point where by the time we get to Christmas Day, it's just, take the deep breath, thank goodness, it's over, and let's move on with our lives. How many people do we know that take our decorations down the day after Christmas? We always wait until Epiphany, January 6th, and people assume we're Catholic. I'm not quite sure why that's the only religion they think celebrates that, but really, the 12 days of Christmas is not the 12-day countdown. It's not the 12 days of Christmas sweaters on the Tonight Show. It's the 12 days following Christmas. That's the season that we're supposed to hold on to, that we're supposed to pause and freeze frame at the manger, at this place with Christ in our midst, to care for that child, to care for that new life that is being born in us. But it requires all of these gifts of the season that we've talked about. It requires slowing down. It requires simplifying all the clutter. And it requires being intentionally grateful for each and every moment. And we learn about gratitude very early. We learn as a kid the two magic words are
thank you.
Thank you. And please and thank you. Yep, absolutely. Thank you is one of those magic words or magic phrases. But gratitude is more than saying thank you. It's more than just sending a card or sending a thank you card for receiving a thank you card. or sending a thank you card for receiving a thank you card for the thank you card. And yes, we've had family members who expect all of that, and it just sort of continues ad nauseum. That's not really the gratitude we're talking about. That's sort of a cultural expectation for some. Gratitude isn't just a mealtime blessing or a prayer to say a quick thanks to God and bless the food for us. But too often, these are the extent of the ways we practice gratitude. Quick little automatic responses. Thanks, and move on. Just like the other 9 lepers. It's not that they weren't thankful. Of course they were thankful. But it's the kind of thanks that says, you know what? I've checked the box. I've gone to the priest. Thank you for my clean bill of health. And now I can go on with my life. It's not the kind of thanks we're talking about. We're talking about the kind of gratitude that, just like joy, is deep-seated in our hearts. The kind of gratitude that is cultivated through a deep awareness of the blessings in life around us. A gratitude that helps us even in our grief and our difficult times, because we give thanks to God for those who have influenced our lives, for the acquaintances, for the family, for the dear friends who have walked with us, even if they are no longer with us. This Thursday, the 21st, we're partnering at Wittenberg Lutheran for our longest night service, an opportunity in this season, in some ways, to express gratitude for those who are no longer with us, to grieve and to mourn, to recognize that this season for some is very painful. So we hope if you know somebody who is dealing with that, who is struggling to be grateful, who is struggling to find joy in this season, be sure to come out at 7 o'clock to Wittenberg for that time. But we do those kinds of services intentionally because we realize that gratitude doesn't come naturally. Joy doesn't always come easy, even in a season where everybody expects us to be holly jolly all the time. Practice noticing. Practice paying attention. Gratitude requires intentionality. And so I want to invite us to just a closing meditation, closing moment of prayer to reflect on those gratitudes, to intentionally enter into joy through the gratitude of the gifts that God has placed in your lives. I want to invite you to close your eyes, to take a deep breath and to feel yourself settle into the sea. To take a few slow breaths and relax and let go of any tension you might feel. To be alert, grounded, and present. As you breathe, notice your current state of mind. What's your mood? How do you feel right now? Don't judge or condemn. Don't think how you should be feeling, but just what is really going on inside. As you allow all of that to bubble up, begin to take an inventory of all the things in your life that you're grateful for. For the people and the circumstances that led you to this moment. For the opportunities you've had in life. Education, travel, experiences, work, friends, family. Offer gratitude for your health, to whatever degree you experience it, the health to even be able to be in this place where some are unable to come. Grateful for your mind and your intellect. Appreciation for the talents and the skills that you have offered others. To feel appreciation for the people in your life, your immediate family, spouse, children, parents. Gratitude for your extended family. Appreciation for your coworkers and friends. For the mentors in your life who helped you grow into the person you are today. And let your gratitude go further out. For the whole earth, for all of creation, for the gifts of water, of food, of the air you breathe every day. Focus on one thing in your life that you are particularly grateful for in this moment. Maybe it's a person, maybe it's a circumstance. Don't try to think, oh, that's not what I want to be thinking about. But whatever comes to mind, when you say one thing that I am so grateful for in this moment. Let that experience of gratitude flood your mind. Breathe it in deeply. Savor that experience. Let that gratitude sink deeply in. And then as you come back to the room, whenever you're ready, consider how you might notice these thoughts, these gratitudes in your everyday life, and how you might express them. That Samaritan received the gift of joy because he took that gratitude as more than just a thanksgiving and moving on. But his gratitude moved him to respond. His gratitude moved him to know the one who gave him this gift. Drew him back to Jesus, the source of his healing, the source of his new life. And that's what gratitude always does for us. That's why gratitude is the gateway to joy. Because gratitude makes us realize just how present and alive Jesus is in our lives. How much at work the Spirit is moving among us, among our family, among our loved ones, among our friends, in our community, even in our world. Even in the darkest places, gratitude is what helps us see those moments that make us smile even when we feel like we shouldn't be smiling. These are the gifts of the season. And so, as Paul says, may we rejoice in the Lord always. May we not worry about anything, but give all of our needs with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving to the Lord. And may we receive the peace and joy of Christ that surpasses all understanding, and guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we come and thank you for the gift of gratitude, not only at Thanksgiving, but each and every day. Help us this season to slow down, to simplify the clutter in our lives so that we can each and every day, maybe multiple times a day, pause and take inventory of these things for which we are so grateful. Help us not to move so fast that we forget the source of our blessings. Help us not to feel so pressured that we forget how you are trying to sustain us, the ways your Spirit is walking with us, giving us comfort and strength and peace. Fill us with the gifts of the season, O Lord. Fill us with hope. Fill us with peace. Fill us with joy and make us ever more loving to all who you love, all who are around us. Fill us with gratitude for the people that you've put in our lives, for the opportunities you've given us, and most importantly, for the gift of your Son, who showed us this way of life that fills us with peace and joy beyond anything we can comprehend.
but for all of these things, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.